show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Well, double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM show wave talk radio. The truth is on talk radio. Turn it on.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller. It is Thursday, the 8th of November, 2007. And this morning, Helicopter Ben was before the Joint Financial Committees in Washington, D.C., of which Mr. Ron Paul took the opportunity to just absolutely nail Mr. Bernanke's hide to the proverbial shed. And he did it in his general, non-inflammatory way, at the question period and the answer period for Mr. Bernanke in front of this committee, of course, was limited because they all had votes to go cast on the floor, not only in the Senate but in the House of Representatives. And what struck me most about this was that after Mr. Ron Paul's comments and statements, the only thing in the Helicopter Ben could do is sit there with a smirk on his face. The most disgusting display of arrogance I have seen in a long, long time. Because Ron Paul pointed out that, hey, look, pal, you're robbing people's, if they have any savings, you're robbing their savings because the value of the dollar is continuing to slide. And through your inflationary measures, their savings are going up in smoke. And he had the audacity to sit there and just smirk. I was rather fascinated by that. And, of course, the Dow, thank you, Chris. And, of course, the Dow this morning, before Bernanke's speech, was down some 200-plus odd points. It closed down 33 points yesterday. It was down 366. So a combined total over the last couple of days, the Dow has lost over 400 points. And ironically, we are back in the position that we were last month, with the exceptions, of course, of the commodities, what they refer to as commodities, gold and silver. Oil, of course, is the big booger man on the streets out there. And, folks, this is set not to be a very Merry Christmas, because nothing of what Ben Bernanke, yeah, maybe kind of, sort of, yes, no, there wasn't any of that. It was just the usual mishmash. And I'm saddened because a lot of people don't even understand the hyperbole that the financial guys will use. Which, when you boil it down, it really doesn't mean anything. But the people that were watching this, or the general public out there, would not understand. They have their own, it's jingoistic, it's laden with their own pet terms. But Mr. Paul did his best to cut through the garbage and basically made his statement to Ben Bernanke. It wasn't really a question and answer period. He just let him have it, both barrels. Take the break here, come back on the other side. And I've got an open letter from Carl Schwartz. Carl has been listening to the program from overseas. And he actually sent a letter to Eric Prince of Blackwater, of which I will read. We'll be right back.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Before I get into anything else, I want to play you folks a clip. And it goes back to September 11th, 1941. And this was Charles Lindbergh. And he gave this speech in Des Moines, Iowa, and talking about going into war, FDR's war, a lot of people's war. And you'll notice at the beginning of the speech, there was a lot of raucousness going on in the audience. And these were people that were firmly planted in FDR's camp. But if you listen closely to the 1941 speech, it is almost like it was given last September 11th, just a couple of months ago.
We cannot allow the natural passions and prejudices of other peoples to lead our country to destruction. The Roosevelt administration is the third powerful group which has been carrying this country toward war. Its members have used the
members have used the war emergency. Its members have used the war emergency to obtain a third presidential term for the first time in American history. They have used the war to add unlimited billions to a debt which was already the highest we have ever known. And they have used the war to justify the restriction of congressional power and the assumption of dictatorial procedures on the part of the president and his appointees. The power of the Roosevelt administration depends upon the maintenance of a wartime emergency. The prestige of the Roosevelt administration depends upon the success of Great Britain, to whom the president attached his political future at a time when most people thought that England and France could easily win the war. The danger of the Roosevelt administration lies in its subterfuge. While its members have promised us peace, they have led us to war, heedless of the platform upon which they were elected. In selecting these three groups as the major agitators for war, I have included only those whose support is essential to the war party. If any of these groups, the British, the Jewish, or the administration, stops agitating for war, I believe there will be little danger of our involvement. I do not believe that any two of them are powerful enough to carry this country to war without the support of the third. And to these three, as I have said, all other groups are of secondary importance. When hostilities commenced in Europe in 1939, it was realized by these groups that the American people had no intention of entering the war. They knew it would be worse than useless to ask us for a declaration of war at that time. But they believed that this country could be enticed into the war in very much the same way that it was enticed into the last one. They planned, first, to prepare the United States for foreign war under the guise of American defense. Second, to involve us in the war, step by step, without our realization. Third, to create a series of incidents which would force us into the actual conflict. These plans were, of course, to be covered and assisted by the full power of their propaganda. Our theaters soon became filled with plays portraying the glory of war. Newsreels lost all semblance of objectivity. Newspapers and magazines began to lose advertising if they carried anti-war articles. A smear campaign was instituted against individuals who opposed intervention. The terms fifth columnist, traitor, Nazi, anti-Semitic were thrown ceaselessly at anyone who dared to suggest that it was not to the best interests of the United States to enter war. Men lost their jobs if they were frankly anti-war. Many others dared no longer speak. Before long, lecture halls that were open to advocates of war were closed to speakers who opposed it. A fear campaign was inaugurated. We were told that aviation, which has held the British fleet off the continent of Europe, made America more vulnerable than ever before to invasion. Propaganda was in full swing. There was no difficulty in obtaining billions of dollars for arms under the guise of defending America. our people stood united on a program for defense. Congress passed appropriation after appropriation for guns and planes and battleships with the approval of the overwhelming majority of our citizens. That a large portion of these appropriations was to be used to build arms for Europe, we did not learn until later. That was another step. To use a specific example, in 1939, we were told that we should increase our Air Corps to a total of 5,000 planes. Congress passed the necessary legislation. A few months later, the administration told us that the United States should have at least 50,000 planes for our national safety. But almost as fast as fighting planes were turned out from our factories, they were sent abroad, although our own Air Corps was in the utmost need of new equipment. So that today, 2 years after the start of war, the American Army has only a few hundred thoroughly modern bombers and fighters. Less, in fact, than Germany is able to produce in a single month. Ever since its inception, our arms program has been laid out for the purpose of carrying on the war in Europe far more than for the purpose of building an adequate defense for America. Only one thing holds this country from war today. That is the rising opposition of the American people. Our system of democracy. Our system of democracy and representative government is on test today as it has never been before. We are on the verge of a war in which the only victor would be chaos and frustration. We are on the verge of war for which we are still unprepared and for which no one has offered a feasible plan of victory. A war which cannot be won without sending our soldiers across an ocean to fight and to force a landing on a hostile coast against armies stronger than our own. We are on the verge of war, but it is not yet too late to stay out. It is not yet too late to show that no amount of money or propaganda or patronage can force a free and independent people into war against its will.
And less than 2 months later, the start of World War II. Do you hear the eerie parallels in his speech? And that was Charles Lindbergh to the First America Committee on September 11, 1941. By the way, that was the same day as the groundbreaking ceremony for the Pentagon. And who do we have for continuing to push a war in the Middle East? We have the United States. We have Israel. Sarkozy now is, well, he's going to be less problematic than his predecessor in France. And George Bush and the Klan are continuing to push for war in Iran, which many are saying looks like it is slated for the beginning of next year. Folks, the figures have been updated. We're not spending $2 billion a week for these efforts, this undeclared war in the Middle East. We are actually spending $3 billion a week. And I wonder how much of that $3 billion goes for the Blackwater people that are paid $600, $700 a day to go around shooting up civilians, as if a million Iraqis' death toll is not quite enough. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Olmert for Israel came out and said, well, this month there's going to be a peace conference, and this is in regards to the Palestinian question. That's what they are fond of saying. Well, according to Tim Butcher, that was in Jerusalem, he writes for the Telegraph in England, the population of Israeli settlers living in the occupied West Bank has grown significantly in spite of Israel's undertaking to crack down on settlements. Peace Now, a group that monitors Israeli settlement activity in occupied territories, said that the settler population has reached 267,500 people, an increase of 5.8%, or three times the national population growth figure. The report undermines claims by Israel that it is seriously dealing, or serious about dealing, I should say, with the issue of settlements, which are deemed illegal under international law because occupiers are forbidden from establishing population centers on land taken in war. And it casts a shadow over the Middle East Peace Summit due within the next few weeks at Annapolis, as diplomats have been hoping for confidence-building measures to ease talks between Israelis and Palestinians. News that Israeli communities are being extended on land claimed by the Palestinians will do little to build confidence on the Palestinian side. Peace Now said settlers have found a way of avoiding an Israeli government ban on transporting caravans to West Bank settlements. Instead, they bring flat pack components in cars and assemble them in place. Now, if you want to have a two-state solution, then you can't continue to expand settlements. According to Yarov Oppenheimer, director of Peace Now, every day it gets more difficult to talk about borders. Israel pledged under the U.S.-backed peace roadmap, wonderful roadmap, in 2003 to evacuate unauthorized outposts built after March 2001 when Ariel Sharon took office as prime minister. Peace Now, by the way, said that they have only four have been completely removed, while scores of them have been extended. There's not going to be any peace in Israel versus Palestine, folks, because Israel is not interested in having Palestinians have their own land. That is evident. And they'll cook up all kinds of incidents and provocations to justify retaliation against Palestinians that just want them the heck off of their land. Now, in the meantime, and this story kind of slipped by people, is there a possibility that, in fact, there is going to be a war within the next 6 months in Iran? A lot of people are saying that is exactly what's going to happen. But a couple of months ago, a September 6 raid over Syria was carried out by the United States Air Force, the Al Jazeera website reported. The website quoted Israeli and Arab sources as saying that two U.S. jets armed with tactical nuclear weapons carried out an attack on a suspected nuclear site under construction. The sources were quoted as saying that Israeli F-15 and F-16 jets provided cover for the U.S. planes. The sources also added that each U.S. plane carried one tactical nuclear weapon, and that the site was hit by a bomb and was totally destroyed. At the beginning of October, Israel's military censor began to allow local media to report on a raid without attributing their report to foreign sources. Nevertheless, details of the strike have remained clouded in mystery. On October 28th, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert told the cabinet that he had apologized to Turkish Prime Minister if Israel itself violated Turkish airspace during a strike on alleged nuclear facility in Syria. In a carefully worded statement that was given to reporters after the cabinet meeting, Olmert said, "In my conversation with the Turkish Prime Minister, I told him that if Israeli planes indeed penetrated Turkish airspace, there was no intention thereby, either in advance or in any case, in any way, to violate or undermine Turkish sovereignty, which we respect." Yeah, the same way they respect the sovereignty of the Palestinians. In the New York Times, they reported on October 13th that Israeli planes struck at what U.S. and Israeli intelligence believed was a partly constructed nuclear reactor in Syria on September 6th, citing American and foreign officials who had seen the relevant intelligence reports. According to the report, Israel carried out the report to send a message that it would not tolerate even a nuclear program in its initial stages of construction and any neighboring state. On October 17th, Syria denied that one of its representatives to the United Nations told a panel that an Israeli airstrike hit a Syrian nuclear facility and added such facilities do not exist in Syria. A UN document released by the press office had provided an account of meeting of the First Committee, Disarmament and International Security in New York, and paraphrased an unnamed Syrian representative saying that a nuclear facility was hit by the raid. However, the state-run Syrian Arab news agency, SANA, said the media reports, apparently based on U.S. press releases, misquoted the Syrian diplomat. Doesn't matter, folks, whether it's Syria, whether it's Iran. You heard the reports last year coming out saying that, well, Israel is threatening to strike Iran, or maybe even the United States will consider a nuclear option. Everything is on the table. They are not going to stop with this. They are not going to quit killing people. Total death count, over a million. We've killed over a million Iraqis. How is that with your Mickey D's, double burger, and your order of fries? Western democracy at the point of a gun. And we're wondering why they're upset with us. We'll take the break. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few consumers even know such products exist. This technology is backed by hundreds of thousands of dollars of testing that the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. SFR, the leader in fuel products, has obtained this technology, and we are so convinced you'll notice the savings that we will give you a bottle for free. SFR is not an injector cleaner or typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. Just pay a minimal shipping and handling charge. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll even refund the shipping charge. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-USE-SFR1. That's 1-888-873-7371 today.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
On yesterday's program, I had made the suggestion that people should be buying Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism and passing these things out. Well, I made a little miscalculation yesterday. I told people that, well, you can get a copy for a buck. Well, that was the old label that was on the DVD. They are actually $1.25. Still almost cheaper than we could run the things off here. I don't know exactly where the $1.25 goes, but we get delivered high-quality DVD copies. And I had suggested to people that if they had their choice of any other DVD or video presentation that they would hand out, what would it be? Would it be Freedom to Fascism, explaining about the IRS and the funny money system? Because that is the crisis we're in right now. And on yesterday's after the program yesterday, 300 copies were ordered. So let me make an addendum here of a correction. If you want to get copies of this in unlimited quantities, however many you want to order 10, I'm going to ask for 10 copy minimum orders, please, because we have to buy these in lots of 50 and 100s, and we don't want to get a discount. It's $1.25 each, no matter if you buy one or you buy 1,000 of the things. At any rate, So if you would, please, when you call in to place your orders, make it $1.25 and a minimum of 10 copies. Okay, you can call us at 800-724-2719. And folks, Ron Paul is prominently placed in that video. And while you're out there beating the streets talking about Ron Paul, or whether you're talking about the economy, whatever you're talking about, hand these DVDs out, because more people have to understand and they have to actually decode. It's almost as if Ron Paul is speaking to a public that doesn't speak the language or doesn't understand the language that he is speaking. Because most Americans in this country don't know relevant things. They just don't know them. And a lot of them, the majority of them, don't understand the relation of the Federal Reserve to our economy and the responsibility of Congress. So when Ron Paul takes on Ben Bernanke at these financial committee hearings, there'll be more people that are watching those hearings that understand what the Federal Reserve is really all about. So please, when you order those copies, a minimum of 10, please. But they're $1.25 a piece. And I'm glad I made this correction, because more orders have come in. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of these things are being ordered and flying out of this place. So $1.25 a piece, if you please. On the issue of the Middle East, continuing on that theme, there's a gentleman that writes for the Republic out of East Vancouver on Iran's real position. Before the bombing begins, okay, before Iran is torn apart by Israel and the United States, for the public record, I would like to enter this into it. Before the bombing begins, let's at least know some truth about where everybody on this issue stands. Michael Ninonen wrote, I've been procrastinating again. I haven't wanted to write about the possibility of war between the United States and Iran. Frankly, I haven't wanted to think about it. There are some possibilities that are so colossally terrible and stupid that the mind instinctively avoids getting anywhere close to them. So I've willfully ignored reports that Dick Cheney and the rest of the Bush administration, neoconservative cabal, are pushing for this war, and I've discounted warnings by such respected academics as John Mearsheimer and Stephen Walt that America's powerful Israeli lobby is doing the same. Let me refer back, and if you missed the first part of this program, go into the archives and listen to Lindbergh's speech back on September 11, 1941, please. I've clung to the hope that Bush is only bluffing, that the armada he sent to the Persian Gulf and his decision to label Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps a terrorist organization are only pressure tactics. When the Boston Globe reported in May of 2007 that the United States has been using the Iran-Syria Policy and Operations Group, the ISOG, to destabilize the Iranian regime, I told myself that this was simply geopolitical business as usual for the world's only superpower, no different than the other acts of subversion it's carried out throughout the Middle East for many decades now. Most of all, I've avoided thinking about how appealing this attack and the slender chance it offers for some kind of victory must be for an administration whose catastrophic failures in Iraq have left it with nothing to lose, and that's convinced itself that Iranians would topple their own regime the moment the bombardment began. It's possible that the administration is simply conducting a kind of psychological warfare, and that Iran won't be in ruins when Bush leaves office. After seeing the public reaction to Iranian President Ahmadinejad's visit to the United States in late September, I'm beginning to wonder. Granted, his views are blatantly, and he says, homophobic and misogynistic, I'll get the word out, and he's a bit of a buffoon, but he doesn't deserve to be demonized. The man even prevented from placing a reef at Ground Zero in Manhattan, even though Iran had nothing whatsoever to do with 9/11, And even the Iranians expressed their sympathies for the victims with candlelight vigils and a moment of silence at a major soccer stadium. We've seen this kind of hysteria before. It appears that America is once again coming down with a war fever, and this could facilitate an attack on Iran. Fortunately, there is a way to bring the public's temperature down. The best remedy remains the truth, and it could be a very effective here, as the warmonger's case is founded upon such blatant lies. We're told that Ahmadinejad is a Holocaust denier who has threatened to wipe Israel off the map, and that Iran is months away from developing a nuclear weapon that could unleash another genocide upon the Jewish people. We're told that a war with Iran would be in the world's best interest, as it would restrain a dangerous rogue power. In fact, Ahmadinejad has never denied that Nazi genocide killed 6 million Jews, although I will deny it. I don't care what they think. Examine his words carefully. In December of 2006, he said, "In the name of the Holocaust, they have created a myth and regard it to be worthier than God, religion, and the prophets." He is using the word myth in its academic sense, as a story used to illustrate a cultural ideal and to provide meaningful context for human behavior. Myths can be easily made from actual historic occurrences. For example, the prisoner settlement of the American West clearly took place, but it's been shrouded in myths of manifest destiny, rugged individualism, and the triumph of civilization over primal chaos. These myths have been used to conceal, minimize, and justify the genocidal injustices that the settlement process inflicted upon American Indians. Similarly, a compelling case can be made that the Nazi genocide had been turned into a myth that has been used for unpalatable purposes. Consider, for example, the reluctance of so many Zionists to concede that the 1915-1917 Armenian genocide, in which over 1.5 million Armenians were systematically slaughtered, is comparable to the Nazi genocide. In a 2001 interview with the Anatolia News Agency, Shimon Peres said that "we reject attempts to create a similarity between the Holocaust and the Armenian allegations. Nothing similar to the Holocaust occurred. It is a tragedy that Americans went through, but not a genocide." On March 5, 2002, Rivka Cohen, the Israeli ambassador, said that while the Armenian genocide was a tragedy, the Nazi Holocaust was a unique phenomenon since it had always been planned and aimed to destroy the whole nation. In early 2007, the Anti-Defamation League, the American Jewish Committee, B'nai B'rith International, and the Jewish Institute of National Security Affairs delivered to the U.S. Congress a written request from the Jews of Turkey asking that our America refuse to recognize the Armenian genocide. In the Great War for Civilization, the book by Alfred A. Knopf, or Knopf, wrote in 2005, respected war correspondent Robert Fisk writes that the Zionist strategy is to disassociate the Armenian Holocaust from the Jewish Holocaust, creating a uniqueness about the Jewish experience of persecution which no other ethnic group is permitted to share. In other words, Zionists have turned the Holocaust into a myth, just as Ahmadinejad has claimed. Furthermore, Ahmadinejad's belief that this has been used to justify the brutal occupation of Palestine and to silence Israel's critics is a position that is firmly supported by the work of Jewish scholars like Michael Newman, Norman Finkelstein, and Noam Chomsky. Ahmadinejad's claim that for Zionists this myth has overtaken Judaism's traditional mythology is undoubtedly a mean-spirited overgeneralization, but his central point remains valid. So no, Ahmadinejad is not a Holocaust denier, but did he threaten to wipe Israel off the map? It's true that in October of 2005, Ahmadinejad gave a speech in which he quoted Ayatollah Khomeini's remark about the Israeli government. "Our dear Imam," he said, "that the occupying regime must be wiped off the map." And this was a very wise statement. "I have no doubt that the new wave that has started in Palestine, and we witness in the Islamic world too, will eliminate this disgraceful stain from the Islamic world. This might sound like a call for genocide, but the context of this quote indicates otherwise. Ahmadinejad referred to other regimes that have been wiped off the map, such as the Shahs, the Soviet Unions, and Saddam Hussein's. There was no genocide when the Shah's regime fell or when the Soviet Union collapsed, and there was no reason to think that a genocide would accompany the collapse of the Zionist regime in Israel. For instance, it could be replaced in the same way as South Africa's apartheid regime. The Palestinians in the occupied territories could be granted full Israeli citizenship in what is referred to as a one-state solution. Now, it's important to remember in all of this that Ahmadinejad is condemning Zionism rather than Judaism, a distinction supported by members of Iran's Jewish community. Mossadegh, the chairman of the Tehran Jewish Committee, was quoted by the Christian Science Monitor on April 27th of this year as saying, "If you think Judaism and Zionism are one, it is like thinking Islam and the Taliban are the same, and they are not." He went on to say, "We have common problems with Iranian Muslims. If a war were to start, we would also be a target. When a missile lands, it does not ask if you are a Muslim or a Jew. It just lands." Now, if Ahmadinejad doesn't want to cause another Holocaust, then why is Iran so eager to obtain nuclear technology? The answer is simple. Iran desperately needs nuclear power to meet its growing energy demands. Under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, the NPT, it has a perfect right to this power. It's true that this would make it possible for Iran to produce nuclear weapons, but there is no guarantee that it would do so. There are 40 countries that have signed on to the Non-Proliferation Treaty that can make the material needed for a nuclear weapon, including Egypt and Algeria. These countries have decided that they will only make these weapons as a form of deterrence if they are immediately threatened by a hostile nuclear power. As military historian Gwen Dwyer writes in The Mess They Made, Iran simply wants to be the 41st. In any case, the CIA reports that Iran is 10 years away from being able to make any such weapon, by which time Ahmadinejad will probably be out of office. Not that this matters much, since the Iranian president, unlike the American counterpart, is neither the head of the state nor the commander-in-chief. These functions are performed by the position of supreme leader currently held by Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Now, having said this, Iran can make a persuasive case that it needs a nuclear deterrent. Iran is currently in the crosshairs of two nuclear powers. Israel, a country that has never signed the NPT, has hundreds of nuclear weapons. It's constantly threatened Iran with preemptive attacks. And according to Seymour Hersh, members of the Mossad have been active in Kurdish areas of Iran. The United States, the country with the largest nuclear arsenal in the world, has not only stated that it would support any Israeli aggression against Iran, but it may well launch such an attack itself. If Iran were to acquire nuclear weapons, it is very unlikely that it would use them to preemptively attack Israel, as Iran knows full well that it would be incinerated by Israel's retaliation. Finally, let's consider whether the world would benefit from a war with Iran. An aerial bombardment would certainly create a humanitarian catastrophe, but Iran could defend itself. The U.S. military lacks the manpower to occupy Iran, so Iran could quickly strike back. In February 22nd of this year, an article for the Georgia Strait entitled "General Could Halt Iran Foray," Gwen Dwyer wrote that Iran could flood Iraq with sophisticated weapons and send volunteers to help fight against U.S. forces there. It could throw international markets into turmoil by halting its own oil exports. It could try to close the entire Persian Gulf to tanker traffic, with a pretty fair chance of success, by the way, and throw the entire world economy into crisis. And any further U.S. airstrikes would simply harden Iranians' resolve. Not only would a war with Iran be ethically unjustified, its consequences would be disastrous for everyone. This wouldn't be a quagmire like Iraq. It would be a black hole whose event horizon could quickly spread across the entire world. It would be colossally stupid and colossally terrible. And I still don't want to think about it. And folks, it is on the table for them. They have stated it repeatedly. And I don't know what in people's mind qualifies as a Holocaust. You don't suppose that the United States being directly responsible for killing a million Iraqis, could that be termed a genocide? Of course it couldn't. In the very same way in the country here that, well, we have abortion on demand because people are either too stupid or too lazy to prevent pregnancies, but they use it as a matter of convenience. And how many millions of human beings have been killed in this country? But that, again, is not a Holocaust. It is only the Jewish Holocaust that we must pay attention to. And if you speak against it, you get thrown in jail. And by the way, it prompts Congress to pass hate crime laws. Oh, yes, and bills like H.R. 1955 and H.R. 1959, with guess who was behind that one? That's right, the Zionists. Welcome to November 8th, 2007.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
back. Clarence in Oklahoma. Hello, Clarence. I did that rather quickly,
yeah,
Mr. Producer. I freaked out my producer here. Go ahead, Clarence.
Well, I just want to tell you that I know what you're talking about. You know, you're talking about, you know, this is talking about the creeping fascism that's coming on our country. And I don't, and, you know, I don't even want to call it that. It's totalitarianism. It's a thing that people in this country can't even fathom. And the most of them, you know, they were around, like, you know, Jay Leno, you know, the deals. They have no idea, you know. They don't even know who the vice president of this country is. And he's one of the most evil people on this planet.
But a lot of people don't understand that, Clarence. They don't see it. We've got the George Bush people that I swear to you, Clarence, that they're taking on his sins and the sins of the world and all going to burn in hell over it, but they refuse to look at this for what it is.
Yeah.
That just because this is the United States president, and because at one point in time he claimed to be a Christian, at times he referenced that I walk around in the Rose Garden reading my Bible, and I don't know if that's the Talmud or what it is, but this man claims that he is a good president. And you cannot break this veil with these people. What I think has to be done with this, Clarence, I think an end round has to be done around these deadheads. I really do, because the people in this country that are fed up, that won't even turn on the TV, will not listen about anything to do with political anything. These people have to be re-energized. They have to be educated, and they've got to step up.
I'm one of them. I'll tell you, I'm one of them. I started in media 30-some years ago when I was in college. I worked at the radio station. I used to believe in this stuff. But then all of a sudden, it finally came to me about 5 or 6 years ago. Actually, if those people were really behind 9/11, and I know you don't like to talk about it, but if they really were, it doesn't really make any difference.
I will talk about 9/11 to the extent of what it has done to this country. It doesn't matter what the enabling cause was. The fact is that the press used this, and I can understand your comment about being on radio and the stuff that you used to pump out, that you believed it. That's the problem in this country. We have no objective news anymore that really asks serious questions and does real investigations and really does white paper journalism. It's all yellow journalism.
Absolutely. Forget about 9/11 right now, and I'm totally with you on that. But we're beyond that. We're talking, and this has been going on for time immemorial in this country. I mean, seriously, the yellow press, back in the early 1900s, the people that supported all these people. Well, all I can say is I can hear the music, but I'll tell you this, what goes around comes around, and we're still seeing it. But everybody needs to be awake.
Did you, by the way, did you hear the speech of the Lindbergh speech?
And I sure did, and I wish I could tell you more about that, but my dad was in World War II. But that's okay.
No, we just referred to that as World War I Part II. Just as